Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, 7th of February 2021. We will be going through the book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. Today will be our last sharing of this book, because we are at the tail end. We are at page 314. 314 summarizes the three stages of growth. So after we finish this, we will finish this book. And like what I suggested was, we will go through the transcript book. After that, we can start off with a new series. We will go through whatever transcript book that is relevant, so that you all can have a better understanding of the teaching shared. The first one I think I will go through is based on the last session sharing. I think Padmasuri was the one who recalled this book. Who are you and what are you? So this is a very good transcript book. Printed in the year 2014, 6 years back, 19 December 2014. So we will go through the one address. This is the final chapter. Three stages of growth. I think earlier on, we have gone to the preface, the beginning page. In the preface, I think it was mentioned. I just read to you this part so that we may recall. So to put the Buddha's teaching into practice, Master Chen Yen promulgates her teacher, Venerable Dharma Master Yin Sun's philosophy of humanistic science as the principle of spiritual cultivation. So this is the basis of her teaching and her book from her teacher, Master Yin Sun. Yin Sun is also one of the direct disciples of Xu Yin Lao Hesang, Master Xu Yin. She had carried out the words that her teacher gave her. For Buddha's teaching for sentient beings, so these are the two missions, to teach the Buddha's teaching and to share with the sentient being. And everything they do is to promote the teaching and to consider sentient beings, for sentient beings, and put them into action. However, her ideology did not come from Master Dharma Master Yin Sun. It is the achievement of her own practice and realization of the Buddha Dharma after she had studied the Lotus Sutta and thoroughly comprehended the essence. So this Lotus Sutta is very important. Which is the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Both sutras are the foundation of Tzu-chi's mission. They allow Tzu-chi volunteers to experience the principle through putting the sutra into action and to understand that the Bodhisattva path they are walking on is the path to truth, the same path described in the sutta. The Bodhi path is broad and narrow. So this one is very useful. It summarized to us where the teaching comes from. That's why you see throughout the book we have been following the various extracts from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, especially the section on virtue. And there are other sections too. So it's basically from the book, the Lotus Sutta. So this whole three, four Lotus Sutra of Fa Hua San Pu Jing, they constitute the basis of the Bodhisattva way, the Bodhisattva teachings that the Buddha actually taught. We did the three, four Lotus Sutra, Fa Hua San Pu Jing. We have three subdivision of sutra. The first one is the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Innumerable Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So this one also has three chapters. Chapter one is on virtue. Chapter two is on the teaching, proclamation of the teachings of the Buddha. And chapter three is on the 10 merits performed by great beings, the Bodhisattvas. So these are all very beautiful teachings. Then after that, we have the second book, which is the Lotus Sutra itself, Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing. Finally, is the Meditation Sutra of Samantrabhara Bodhisattva or Po Xian Jing. So these three are very important Mahayana teachings that explain the whole cultivation of the Bodhisattva ways. And they are very important, very penetrative. So Tsuchi used this as the basis to set up their organization and grow it until what it is today. So now we go back to the notes. Tsuchi stages of growth. The first stage of growth. Just like the year has four seasons, Tsuchi has four missions. Each of these missions take a decade to establish, because finally, after 40 years, Tsuchi established itself. Then by now, it has been more than 50 years since Tsuchi was founded. And the establishment of the four missions is nearly completed, signifying the completion of Tsuchi's first stage of growth and the beginning of the second stage. Therefore, it is appropriate to call our four missions the first stage of growth for the Tsuchi School of Buddhism. Tsuchi was founded in the year 1966. At that time, people in Taiwan were poor, which allowed Tsuchi the opportunity to provide charity. During the first 10 years, through our charity mission, we diligently spread the seeds of kindness and generosity, starting in Hualien and gradually to all of Taiwan. Then in the year 1979, through long-term observation and analysis of our charity work, we found that illness was the source of poverty. Therefore, we decided to raise funds to build a hospital. Once we make this resolution, even though we ran into many obstacles, we firmly move forward one step at a time. In 1986, Hualien Tsuchi General Hospital opened its door to serve the public. So that was exactly 20 years later. Hualien Tsuchi General Hospital opened its door to serve the public. At the same time, Tsuchi celebrated its 20th birthday or anniversary. Hence, the second mission, medical mission. So from charity, they move on to medicine or medical mission. So this medical mission was established in the second decade. In the third decade, we focus on mission on education. So we have charity, medical, then education. And the final one is humanistic culture or humanistic science. So the third decade, where they focus on the mission of education, is also very important. After the opening of Ciji General Hospital in Hualien, we realized that we were short on doctors and nurses, and that no matter how good hospital facilities are, without the love and care of medical professionals, it cannot save life. In addition, at the time, Eastern Taiwan did not have many job opportunities, and there were many unaddressed social issues that affected young girls. Therefore, we decided to build a nursing school to train young girls in Eastern Taiwan to become nurses. Even with loving nurses, we still needed good doctors with humanitarian spirit. So we continue to raise funds to build a medical school. We gradually establish an academic system that provides education to kindergarteners, to doctorate, degree candidates, etc. We serve to impart propriety to our children, students, to our students, and nurture virtue in them so that they will contribute to society when they grow up and be our hope for the future. So this is a very noble vision, a very noble mission. So the education is to provide for this type of dedicated, sincere and loving medical professionals. These medical workers and team, they are a very important arm towards Ciji's mission. May it be charity or medical. You need this type of people. That's why education is very important. Then in the fourth decade, we developed the mission of humanistic culture from circulating publication and transmitting radio program to establish Ta'ai TV, Ta'ai Tai. The TV of Ciji is called Ta'ai. Ta'ai is great love. Which broadcasts around the world. The mission of Ciji's media division is to spread message of wonder and benevolence, as well as document stories or exemplary individuals and record them into history to be passed down. As the adage goes, people must promote the way it cannot promote itself. We are using modern technology to spread the Dhamma and moral ethics around the world. Although our four missions were developed in succession, we did not work on them separately, one after the other. They were developed almost simultaneously in an overlapping manner, despite the numerous complications or complicated issues facing us. We work tirelessly to achieve the goal of our mission to do charity work globally, make medical service widely available, to provide holistic education, and to deepen the scope of humanistic culture. So these are very noble missions. The sutra are a path. This path is a road for us to walk on. This is very true. All of us should cherish our affinity with Ciji, where this is the path we are walking on hand in hand. So this one, she's talking to Ciji volunteers and members, or those who believe in the Ciji's way of supporting the world, contributing towards the world. At the beginning of Ciji's second stage of growth, we must look to the future. There are still many suffering people in the world. We must use all kinds of different methods to guide them. This can only be done with the strength of many people. Therefore, we need to recruit more living bodhisattvas. That's why that one is very important. We need to recruit more bodhisattvas. Such is for mission and eight Dhamma footprint are what we strive to achieve or accomplish in this world. And they pave the smooth rock path that we must guide people to walk on with us. So this noble mission need people to support them. So what they need are living bodhisattvas. So again, you can have the condition and the aspiration to aspire to become genuine, sincere, living bodhisattvas. You will become beautiful and you can help do a lot of job for the sasa, for the good of the many, for society, for humanity, and to make the world or universe a better place. So this is complete our first stage of Ciji's growth, the four mission. So again, just to repeat, the first mission is expanding charity and generosity. They have done it very well. They have a lot of support. Then the next one is to provide medical support to humanity, to the world. That is the second mission. Then the third one is education, to produce more and more of this dedicated, sincere, loving medical professionals, including nurses, doctors, and all the supporting staff. Then, of course, the final one, the fourth mission is humanistic culture. Humanistic culture is very important. It teaches a lot of things that we need to know to improve ourselves. The basic moral support, the basic etiquette that we need to have good life is basically to develop virtue, wisdom, and understanding to be a blessing to all. Okay, so with that, we will move on to the second stage of growth phase for Ciji. In Buddhism, we say, turn the wheel of Dhamma or Dhamma wheel. So this one is very common. I think in most of the Mahayana book, they have this word, turn the Dhamma wheel. It comes from the teachings of Sakyamuni. When Sakyamuni Buddha decided to come out to the world to teach, to share, the first proclamation of his teaching is called Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. The sutta on the turning of the Dhamma wheel. Dhammacakka is a wheel. Pavattana is the turning of the wheel. So this turning of the wheel comes from the first original teaching. We call it the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon as delivered by Sakyamuni Buddha to the five ascetics that had followed him earlier on. So under this first turning teaching, the first sermon teaching, the Dhammacakkappavattana, he actually taught the Four Noble Truths. And he turned the Four Noble Truths three times. That's why it's called the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Because of the three turning and the Four Noble Truths, they are all together 3 times 4. 3 times 4, 12 aspects of his teaching. So that's how the three turning teaching come about. That's how the turning of the Dhamma wheel come about. So this word, Dhammacakka, the wheel, and the teaching, they are very important. Because the Four Noble Truths as it is, you don't teach it this way, the three turning. You don't turn it three times, you cannot capture the whole essence. The whole essence only stand out when the three turning is completed. That's the reason why even in the sutta, the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha actually mentioned it. Even for him, as a bodhisattva at that time, he also had to understand this three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and its 12 aspects before he can proclaim himself to be the Sama Sambuddha. So just imagine the importance of this teaching. That's why it's called the essence of his teaching. The three turning correspond to the three type of wisdom. The first turning gave rise to the initial wisdom called Sutta-maya-panya, wisdom born of hearing the sutta or discourse of the Buddha as proclaimed by him. Then after that, the second turning, the Buddha taught the way to reflect, contemplate and inquire into what he has taught you. So under the second turning, he mentioned 4 specific important words within the Four Noble Truths. He said after proclaiming the truth, under the second turning, he said, this first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. And this is the second turning. You have to inquire, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand it? So the reason why he said this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood is because after he proclaimed to you and you cannot understand, you will not benefit. Then sometimes you may just understand superficially, not deep enough, not clear enough. So the second turning is to help you understand and comprehend it more clearly so that it can stabilize and become something that is very useful and very important. So how do you do it? So the second turning, he said, this noble truth of suffering or dukkha is to be understood. So the inquiry starts. Why did the Buddha say this? Then the next one is, how can I understand it? And from there, you can move your cultivation. So when you ask why or inquire why did the Buddha say that this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, it becomes very clear. If you have not understood or developed the understanding of this first noble truth reality, then you may go through life without understanding. Sometimes when you are in the state of affliction or suffering, miserably, you still don't know that there is suffering, that it's reality, because nobody explained to you. You are caught in it. And because you don't have the understanding, you become tormented, afflicted. You suffer. So, first noble true reality is, the Buddha explained in the proclamation, this eight reality of life and existence, which is birth, old age, sickness, and death. And the next four is when separation occurs. Then after that, when you cannot get what you want, when your life expectations are not met. Then the other one is when you are with people whom you don't like. If you don't have the wisdom, the dhamma, you will become afflicted. You will suffer. You will react to it and become miserable. You will develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, sadness. You will grieve. Then the final summary is meditative. He said, in short, it is due to the individual's self-delusion, sacrality, that condition them to deludedly grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa. Rupa vedana sanya sankhara vinyanam. If you do that, you will lead to suffering. So to understand all this, you need to reflect one by one. Why is birth suffering? Why is always sickness and death suffering? When you reflect, you contemplate, you recollect the birth process, everything, or the illness process, and whatever you have gone through in life or weakness in life, you start to understand the reality deeper. You start to understand how human beings react to all this reality without wisdom and become afflicted. That's how you come out of it. So the first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say that? Then when you reflect and contemplate, you realize, if I have not developed the understanding, I suffer. And I suffer without knowing that I suffer. This is worse. It's like a fool who doesn't know he is a fool. It's a real fool. At least a fool that knows that he is a fool is not so bad. He is willing to learn. He is keen to improve himself and become better. But a fool that doesn't know he is a fool never learn, can never learn. He will continue to be heedless the way he is. Then the next inquiry or contemplation is, how can I develop the understanding of all this reality? That's how you go into it. You reflect, you contemplate, you inquire. Then you start to stabilize all this understanding, then assimilate them into your nature and form the initial wisdom that you need for you to understand life, for you to understand the first noble truth reality, so that you will not be afflicted. Otherwise, when you are entangled without understanding this, you will not even know that this is suffering, that these are the realities of life and existence that can condition affliction or suffering and misery. That is the first turning. Oh, sorry. That is the first noble truth, second turning. Then we move on to the second noble truth, the second turning. Under the second turning, the Buddha mentioned this second noble truth that explains the cause of arising or suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned. So the inquiry is very simple. Why did the Buddha say this is to be abandoned? Then how can I abandon it? And this is how you cultivate the second turning. So the immediate inquiry is, why did the Buddha say I must abandon craving? It's very obvious, isn't it? Well, there is a cause of suffering. If I don't abandon I will continue to be afflicted. Craving will arise through sakayadity, through self-delusion, through the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Cravings are all your attachment, your grasping, your clinging, your wrong view, your selfishness, your covetousness, your lust, your desire, your craving. Then anger, hatred, envy, jealousy are all the negative tendency. Then delusion is not understanding the truth, giving rise to doubt, fear, worry, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness. These are the three evil roots that condition evil activities that make you miserable, suffer, afflicted. That's why when the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is there, it will condition you to be heedless, and you will think the wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your desire, your craving, so all this. So understanding the second turning of the second noble is very important. Now you understand. This cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned. I know why. If I don't abandon it, I suffer. Because it will cause affliction, cause me suffering. The second inquiry is very important. How can I abandon it? How can I root it out? How can I realize this second turning wisdom? So how to abandon it? We have to refer to the Buddha's essential Dhamma, the teaching. What did the Buddha taught us? We have to recognize what constitutes craving and desire. To understand what constitutes craving, we have to understand what constitutes evil, born of self-delusion, sakayaditi, that condition us to grasp to the five aggregate of form and mind, the three evil roots and all things. That's why to abandon it, we must cultivate mindfulness leading to heedfulness to recognize them, to see them. After understanding what constitutes evil, then with mindfulness, we can start to do the work. So initially, the Buddha introduced the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, unwholesome action and speech. This one we have gone through. So first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, so that you can abandon it. Because when you think of the opposite wholesome thought, the wrong thought cannot continue. And the second way is to think of the consequence and the danger of holding on to the unwholesome thought or the wrong thought or the evil thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how you do it. Then the third way is meditative. The Buddha says just remain silent, aware, maintain awareness, develop sati, mindfulness, just maintain awareness. Then you will be able to abandon it. Because when you are just aware without thought, it cannot move. The emotion, that wrong thought cannot move, cannot continue to stir and create movement. It stir and create movement is due to your wrong thought that condition you to crave. When you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer, craving arise. When you cannot get what you want, you become afflicted, miserable. So to reverse it is very easy. Don't do anything. Silent. When you are silent and just aware, which is in sati, when you are heedful, it cannot think. When you cannot think, there is no view, no opinion, no conditioning. No this, no that, no duality. That's why you become at peace. Then you realize the mind returns to its original state of tranquility and stillness, which is the true mind, before the wrong view, before the self-delusion or avidya condition it to react and stir. Then you realize all these emotions, the wrong thought, they are not intrinsic within your nature. They are dependent originating, conditioned arising, cause of phenomena. And if they are not you, if anger is not you, fear is not you, or the unwholesome mind state, they are not you, then why do you worry about it? Why do you have to fight it, suppress it, control it, and want to do away with it? Just let it cease. Just abandon it to wisdom, to understanding, to not reacting to it, to straightening your view. No more wrong view is how you do it. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. If you can do this, you develop wisdom. You become beautiful. When you are mindful and heedful, you can see all this. Then when you can do that, you can meditate. And after that, your mind becomes different. Your mind develops the continuity of mindfulness, leading to sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension throughout the day. When you have that, then you are able to cultivate the four right effort. Because the four right effort need mindfulness, stability of mindfulness and heedfulness and clear comprehension to see all this and understand all this. Then initially is to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Like you already get angry or fear already arise. You have to abandon it. So use the five ways to do it. Especially the third and fourth way. The first two ways are still thought-based. You can try it for a while, but after that, it is not a long-term solution. The long-term solution is the third and fourth way that give rise to wisdom. Then after that, you can move on to the second right effort to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought. So the right effort to prevent this arising can only be done when you have the initial wisdom, when you have done all the contemplation, the reflection, when the initial wisdom is there. Then the moment you are mindful of it, aware of it, it cannot move, it cannot stir, it cannot delude you anymore, it cannot create confusion in you anymore. That's how you can allow it to cease. So right effort to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising need initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, need mindfulness, stability of it. Then after that, the third right effort is to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action. Means right effort to arise, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right way to live life that are still not in you. To do that, you need to reflect, contemplate what constitutes right thought. Whatever thought that is with the three right views of karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama are right thoughts. Means they have right view, they can free their mind of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. These are right thoughts. And what are right thoughts? All your virtuous thoughts, your kindness, your genuine, sincere generosity, your gratitude, your respect for others, your contentment. These are all virtuous thoughts without evil roots. Then you develop them. Then move on to right speech. Right speech is a skill that you have to train. Whatever speech that is gentle, pleasant, lead to harmony, lead to understanding, give people faith and confidence, give people hope, and make people feel confident when they are with you. These are all the appropriate right speeches. Speech that are very gentle, pleasant, that leads to harmony, love, contentment, respect, gratitude, all this. They are all very beautiful virtues, right? So when you understand them, you can arise the right effort to cultivate them until they become a part of you. Similarly, for right speech, right action. Right action also same. Whatever action that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion is right action. Like generosity, the compassion, sincerity, honesty, diligence. So all these are right action. You act righteously. You act with wisdom and understanding. You do your duty in accordance with nature's law that governs life and existence. So these are all right action. That's why the four great virtues of the enlightened beings, when you chant under the salutation to the Sangha, they are all there, of right conduct, of upright conduct, of good conduct, at the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the third one is of wise conduct, they have wisdom. Then finally, the last one is of dutiful conduct, they do their duty in accordance with the nature's law that governs life and existence. So all these are virtuous action. So when you have the right effort to arise them, it is a very beautiful cultivation. This is what the Buddha meant by cultivation of virtue, goodness, wholesomeness. Whatever wholesomeness, wherever there is condition, you should cultivate it. Then the final last effort is, right effort, is to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life so that it can become a living reality. It can become a part of you. So you refine upon it and perfect it so that it become your virtue, your parami. It become a part of your nature so that you manifest the embodiment of this noble eightfold quality of right view, leading to right thought, right speech and right action, and right living or right livelihood. Then you have the ability to constantly arise for right effort wherever you are. That is what cultivating noble eightfold path is all about. And finally, you develop heedfulness to cultivating right mindfulness, leading to right samadhi. Then all the spiritual faculties will fall into place, the factors of enlightenment will arise, and you will awaken. So the second turning wisdom are very powerful. It is teaching you the way to cultivate. Similarly, for the third noble truth, the second turning is the same. The Buddha say, this third noble truth that explained to you about the possibility of the enlightenment in the here and now, cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, is to be realized. You have to realize it. If you cannot realize it, you cannot liberate. So you inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Very clear. If you don't realize cessation, you cannot claim to be enlightened. You are far away from having the wisdom to call yourself an enlightened being. Then the next inquiry is, how can I realize that cessation? You go into the teaching. That's why you cultivate the teaching, Avijja Sutta, the essential, everything. Then you develop the wisdom. When your wisdom is there, when the conditions are appropriate, when everything falls into place, the cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, will take place. It's not difficult because this sasana, the conditions are very favorable. The teachings are there. If you don't have the proper guidance and understanding, it can be very, very difficult to find, very difficult to develop the understanding. So if you don't have the understanding, you cannot develop it. But if you have the understanding, you can develop it very well, very fast. Especially nowadays, where there is still the sasana. So this, the Noble Truth Second Turning, I have already explained. Now we move on to the last one. The fourth Noble Truth Second Turning. The Buddha said there is this Noble Truth, the fourth Noble Truth, that explains clearly the path that leads to the end of all suffering, which is namely the Noble Eightfold Path. That is the first proclamation. Then under the second turning of this fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha said this Noble Eightfold Path is to be understood. Why? You must inquire. Because this is the path to end suffering. This is the meditation. So if I don't develop the cultivation to realize it, because it is about cultivation, if I don't cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path to realize the wisdom to become enlightened or awakened, then I will suffer. So this second turning is very important. Knowing that I have to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, otherwise I will be stuck. Yeah, I cannot realize that cessation. I cannot awaken. I cannot develop the wisdom. So the next inquiry is, how can I do it? So you look at the teaching again, starting with right view, the three type of right view. Kamaniyama, Dhammaniyama, Chittaniyama. You reflect, you contemplate, then you go into it one by one. Then after that, like what we have gone through, under the first and second Noble Truth and the third Noble Truth, is a repeat of the whole thing. Then you realize, without right view, there is no right thought, no right speech, right action, and all those things. So this whole thing is repeated. So the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path starts from all the path factor. Right view or samadhi, right understanding. From there, you move on. You must have the three very important right views developed to move in. Then after you have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's what you have to do. Then when it comes to this second turning wisdom, the Buddha called it Chinta Maya Panya, means wisdom born of constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the proclamation of Dhamma that he has given us. So if you do this constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, which is step two of the Avijja Sutta. So step two is very important. Constantly listening to the true Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, inquire to develop the initial wisdom, to strengthen the faith. So step three, step four, step five, they will come. That's how you should develop your cultivation. And through this, you will become beautiful. You will progress along the path of Dhamma beautifully. Okay, we continue from the book so that we can finish. In Buddhism, we say turn the Dhamma wheel, search its new stage of growth. It's like concentric crystal sphere sharing the same center. We search it, volunteer around the world, turning the Dhamma wheel of people's heart together. With a broad and open heart, Tsuchi's many volunteer embrace all people regardless of their religion or race. They interact with people with gratitude, respect, and love. These are virtues, as well as a strong sense of moral standard. So this genuine love may spread across all borders. During the first stage of growth, Shiji initiated a charity mission in Taiwan. As we enter the second stage of growth now, we see that many people in the world are still suffering. Hence, Shiji's charity mission must be integrated with its international relief effort. The medical mission has to be strengthened by actively promoting the bone marrow donation registry. The education mission must partner with community volunteers to implement community education program for local residents and promote the principle of humanistic culture both in Taiwan and overseas. The humanistic culture mission must integrate environment protection ideas by encouraging people to protect the environment and love the earth. That's how the recycling project all comes about. Looking back to more than 40 years ago, I initiated the Bamboo Bank campaign in Hualien so that we could help the needy. I invited 30 housewives to save 2 cents every day. Little by little, their 30 bamboo coins bank collected enough power to do good deeds and bring relief to those who suffer from poverty and hardship. Those housewives had a common goal. They saved 2 cents each day prior to going grocery shopping. Thus, while at the market, they told the produce vendors, "Give me less veggie than usual so that I can save a penny." The vendor was puzzled by the request, so the housewife took the opportunity to explain. "Our master asked us to save 2 cents each day. Our daily living will not be greatly affected by it. But with many people's penny pulled together, we can do relief work." Upon hearing this, the vendors responded enthusiastically, "I can donate 2 cents too." So these vendors then told other customers about it. So the word spread and it fueled this campaign. Do one good deed every day, save 2 cents in the bamboo bank as a relief fund. That's how Shiji charity mission come about. At that time, someone asked me, "Master, this is the same as donating 60 cents each month. Why are we saving 2 cents every day instead?" I replied, "It's important to nurture love in our heart. Initiating a kind of thought to deposit 2 cents each day is a blessing." Even though the amount was small, it was a drop of pure, untainted Dharma essence that fostered the love of others, which gradually converged into a trickling stream of love. Through the act of saving money, they inspire others with their love. This is how they created blessings and virtue through their own actions. Over the past 40 years, we have been through numerous changes, yet our initial resolve remains the same, and our spiritual aspiration remains firm. We must not forget our humble beginning, and we must continue to work with others with pure thought and broad mind. For this reason, I am now encouraging every volunteer to return to the bamboo era. I hope that everyone can return to the spirits of our origin. Being disciplined, diligent, frugal, and able to overcome difficulties. So these are very good qualities. So you must maintain discipline. Means keep on with your faith. Then be diligent. Frugal means not to waste. Live simple life, frugally, and able to overcome difficulties. Actually, this last virtue is very important, able to come overcome life difficulties. If you reflect on it, you will develop a lot of wisdom. Well, I realized this one helped me to solve a lot of problems in the early stage of my life. Then later on, I got one boss. He was my MD. I think he finally also learned from me. He said, where got no problem in this world? Everywhere also got problem, is it? Especially in the construction industry. He said, we must be good at overcoming problems. When we can overcome problems, when we can solve problems, especially the wisdom way, the Dhamma way, and we can resolve things and issue amicably, we actually apply the Dhamma. So having the wisdom to overcome life difficulties or problems is very important. That is the Dhamma way. Then I realize actually applying Noble Eightfold Path, following the meditation as taught by the Buddha, the fourth noble truth, is the way out of suffering, is the way to resolve our life situation and problem. And that was the one that actually I introduced to a lot of people later on. When you act according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way means you act following Noble Eightfold Path. Then after doing this for a long time, you will have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You will constantly develop right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right view. And constantly arise the four right effort to improve yourself, to change your life, to transform your nature, your coming nature, and your spiritual nature. That's how you cultivate. That's how you turn your life around. That's how your life become beautiful, meaningful, and you are like very lucky, very blessed. Everything goes your way. So this is how Dhamma can be useful. You should apply them. If all Tsuji volunteers can set an example of humanistic culture and display a pleasant demeanor and attitude, then people will be joyous when they see us and be moved to become Tsuji volunteers too. It is my sincere hope that we carry out our four mission in unison, means simultaneously, and imprint our 8 Dhamma footprint firmly and steadily throughout the world. So this will end this sharing. So we have finally completed this book. So it has been a great sharing. So now it's exactly 4:03, just nice for us to have our 45 minutes of meditation, awareness-based meditation. So okay, I will off the light, then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Remember the four support, relax, aware, then maintain awareness, then finally is trust. Just follow these four, especially the first three, and you will develop the good mind. When you have the ability to be more and more mindful or aware, and when you can stabilize that awareness nature, your mind develops tranquility, stillness, and peace very easily. And there is your meditative mind. Then you become very calm, very quiet, very peaceful. You hardly think. You are just aware most of the time. So this is a very different meditation, awareness based. So try not to use your thought. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. Just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Let things be. Let the mind fall back to its original state of tranquility and stillness, and realize that true mind, the silent mind within, that is meditation. Okay. So now we'll continue with our second session. So second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you may have.
Okay, Brother.
Yeah.
Brother, 我想问哈。
啊，可以啊。
Initially, 我们在 cultivate, 在啊，我们回 daily cultivate 的时候，
对，
是不是在 con 只是 con 啊 ？Initially 是不是只是maintain silent 跟 relax？
那个是 formal meditation
啊
，relax aware and maintain the awareness for as long as you can.、
啊、
But when it comes to the daily mindfulness, you have a few things to do because first is to establish your mindfulness first.So the establishment of mindfulness has to be done in the meditative training, means in the form of meditation. Or you can also do it through your daily religious routine. Like every day, every morning when you wake up or before you sleep, then in between. So you do all your daily religious routine. Of course, whenever you are awake,or conscious before you sleep, initially during your conscious moment, try your very best to maintain awareness. Return to your heart area from there, way outside. So stabilize the awareness first, the phase I think you have last time gone through. Then after that, constantly listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, inquire. Then stabilize the understanding.Then in the midst of your daily life, every time you experience a sense experience, you have to maintain the awareness within to find out what is going on. Then you have to cultivate noble effort through applying the teaching. Means initially it can be the four right effort. Then after that,the five way to overcome one hold on thought. That one, I think most of you all have done it, especially the third way. Stabilize that one, then reflect, contemplate until the understanding is very clear. Then after that, as long as your sati sampajana come about, without the initial wisdom, sati sampajana cannot come. So you need to constantly listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, and inquire like what I taught you just now. Then after that, allow the initial wisdom, means yoniso manasikara, to stabilize. Then in the midst of life, you will realize you do not react like before. You do not stir so often like before. And most of the time, you are quiet, peaceful, just aware. Yeah.So that is the time you become different. But that phase of sati sampajana must stabilize until it becomes throughout the day, almost every moment, every instant, you are just aware, mindful. Oh, like there is no gap one, no lapse. Oh, like continuous one. Then it becomes like automatic later on, like you are throughout the day aware. The heart there, it makes you aware. Then your stability or awareness,is such stability and high refinement level. At any one time, you can be aware of your heartbeat or whatever, or you want to be aware of external phenomena, you can. Wherever you locate your awareness, it becomes very clear, it becomes like magnified. So that is the phase you have to go through. Then you start to see many things. You start to be aware of a lot of things that you never see before. Then that phase,will transform again, transform, and there are many changes in between. Then after that, when you do your daily mindfulness until very stable, then you revert back to your former sitting or former meditation, you realize you can sit very easily. You become that awareness, mind state immediately.Because your spiritual faculty is stable already, your sati sampajana stable, you are in the meditative state already. So the moment you go into the formal meditation, you will be without thought on straight away. Yeah. Or if you have been doing something like your work or your career, or you are in entangle with something, or there is some daily life activity that you have to do, then during that time, your mind may not be in the meditative state so collected. But over time, all this can also stabilize. So if you like go back to your working environment, you get yourself involved with a lot of your work, daily work thing. Like what I did when I tested myself after 1989, I went out to work for private sector. Then I realized the initial mundane mind that has not settled down because of the work, they will have some form of activity or movement. Then I realized the moment I sit, all the sankhara will move again. But it's not affecting me anymore. Then I can just look at it silent, aware, means relax, maintain awareness. Then I saw it slow down very fast, within 1 or 2 minutes. Then still again. That's the stability you must have. Then after that, when you get used to that routine, then you can even be mindful in the midst of working, in the midst of doing whatever thing. Then during that time, I realized I don't have to do anything. My mind is already in a meditative state. So whenever I want to silence, I will be in the stillness ready, tranquility, stillness. So these are the stages and phases you will go through. So for your case, I believe your stability or daily mindfulness, you have to establish. You have to establish. Maybe your formal meditation, you have gone into it for quite a while. You have been doing that for very long. But the daily mindfulness, the stability and awareness to reflect, contemplate later on, and inquire and develop the stability of wisdom, then the direct seeing, the insight, the awakening, that phase you have to continue until it becomes very clear, very stable. Then your formal meditation will become different again. Well, after you have developed that, you will understand a lot of things, much more than before. Then all the things that you listen and read will be different again. Then you go into the form of meditation. At that time, the relaxation, the understanding all transform again. Then you will locate that nature again. And that nature become very clear to you. The transformation, the movement, all. You have to use trust. That time. Trust is very important. Trust your nature to do. Don't try to direct it or do anything. Just let it be. And it will detect. And it will has its own movement and all those things. And you can find out more through your own understanding. And as you go through all those phases, the internal transformation, that one other people cannot understand one, you will keep on understanding it. You will go through more and more, more and more. So these are the phases of progress that you will go through. So hopefully this one can make it clearer for you.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
But Brother Teo, since last month, 我去cultivate 在 daily, 我发现到when 我在走路什么的时候哦, most of the time 是away from 那个就在那个 heart 那边这样子, 它是 silent 这样子。就是要每天这样子 continuous 啊?
No, 你 feel try to know, you just do, don't try to know, let it stabilize. When it stabilize until throughout the day without effort, you are aware. Even at the heart area, you just relax, relax. Don't try to maintain there. Maintain there is a still a type of very subtle. Holding on the stress there, where you try to be there, but initially no problem. Where you have to anchor it somewhere, but later on, no need. The mind enters the tea already, it's already aware. So you just do until the mindfulness become very, very stable, the sati sampajana. The sampajana also very important because that clear comprehension will keep you on the path. Because without clear comprehension, you will become complacent. You will be like deceived by the 10 defilement of insight and all those things. So sometimes the condition can arise to either test you or let you think that as if you have done it, like the continuous mindfulness, I remember it come. Then after that, after a few months or what, it suddenly one day disappear. Like you cannot do, you know. You feel like very awkward, like what is happening? How come now suddenly the thing? But it's actually a test. Well, when you start to doubt, when you start to have worry, what happened? Then of course you will start to reflect and connect. But you have the wisdom and the understanding, you will not be affected. Then the moment you realize it's a test, you just persevere, and then it will come back. It will come back. You just relax, maintain awareness, then it will come back. And then you will move into the mainstream to cultivate again. And then that time, all your whatever obstruction would have been more or less gone. Then that time, your cultivation become like very smooth, very soothing. It's very according to the whatever nature's condition, then it will become very beautiful. So these are the things that you have to understand, then bear in mind when you are doing the cultivation. So stability of daily mindfulness is sati sampajana, very clear. Sampajana means clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. That one I think you can do it already. And the only thing is the 10 defilement of insight, when it comes, it may try to like distract you or trap you. Because you are being sincere, your faith, you're diligent and you persevere, you just do. You are very sincere. You are not there to do it for ulterior motive. Then domain of meditation also, by now you all should know already. It can be done anytime, anywhere, any place, under any circumstances. Even when you are threatened with life and death situation or what, you can still be in the meditative state. You can still be in the domain of meditation. No problem. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety arising. You can just maintain that state. Then the next one is clear comprehension of the suitability. Now, the most important time is now. Most important people are the people around you. And the most important place is that locality that you are in. So, clear comprehension of suitability will prevent your thought from thinking of the past, recalling the unhappy fear when you project into the future. So thinking of the past and projecting in the future always happen to the unenlightened being, people who are not peaceful. They think a lot, then they worry a lot. So all their thought process is either they project into the future and trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, or they recollect the unhappy past, the phobia, all those things, or their whatever negativity of mind state that they experience. So all these scars of memory, everything, they will condition your wrong thought, the heedless thinking. So that suitability, clear comprehension will allow you to understand the most important time is now, the present moment. That's why you maintain awareness. The most important people are the people around you. These are the people you can do something, help or what. Of course, you can also radiate love and metta to people that are not around you, but your mind has the ability, so you can do. then the most important place is the place you are in. Do not go and think of other thing, other place when you are at that place. When you are at that place, the clear comprehension of the environment, that nature, everything that arises within the senses, then you can be with the moment, you can live. You can experience everything, the pristine beauty and wonders of whatever phenomena or condition that is around there. So clear comprehension of suitability has that ability to keep you within the correct cultivation so that you will not deviate. Then the last one is non-delusion. Not to be deceived by the 10 defilements of insight or any thought process that can make you complacent. The thought process that make you think, oh, I already done it. I think that's it, I'm already one. That one can also entangle cultivator. That's why this four type of clear comprehension would keep you to the cultivation, prevent you from deviating. But more important is the stability of sati. That one most important. And sampajana will come in. When you understand through sati clearly, the sampajana become automatic. You can see them, the beauty of the sampajana, how it prevents evasion and all those things. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Pradil.
No problem. Anything else you want to share or report?
没有，因为我最近去，我就是去 extend to daily， 等我自己去 find out。 But 刚才 Brother 你所讲的有一些我发现到，很像，当我有时候我去 relate，那个 contemplate 那个 dharma 的时候，发现到那个 understanding 会比较容易。对。But then my mind也比较越来越 subtle 了。对，that
one is also one part of it. Like I say, your daily religious routine is how you start to train yourself and all those things. But now, like 十七完, you move into stage one, finish already. Now stage two is the refinement, the stability of it, the perfection of it. So you will still go through the whole daily mindfulness thing because a daily religious routine is actually the complete daily mindfulness and activity. That one is very important because sati sampajana is needed to actually penetrate. After that, the four foundation of mindfulness is another stage of cultivation, especially the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why that phase is unending. That phase is a very long, continuous cultivation. Then that one will move into Dhamma in daily life, the Bodhisattva way, everything. That's how they are all related, the essential Dhamma, everything. They are all related. And the whole cultivation is actually sati sampajana with the formal meditation to stabilize that nature, that awareness nature, to locate the gateway to do the internal consciousness transformation. So formal meditation is mainly to do that than to realize a cessation for a longer time. Whereas the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, the glimpse of nibbana or cessation can happen during daily mindfulness. Then when you sit, it becomes very easy. When you go into the formal meditation, it becomes very easy. So you should alternate between these two. Then initially just do, don't try to know. Then when the daily mindfulness stabilizes and transforms, you will understand. You will be able to see whatever that you never see before. And then your contemplation will become different. Then you listen to the Dhamma again, read the Sutta again, it will be different again. the penetrative understanding will keep on evolving, and you will become very stable after that. And then when you become very stable, you realize you can express it already. When people ask you anything or what, you realize you can share, you can explain. But of course, initially, you still need training. Yeah? You may not have that what you call stability or skill to impart that teaching or that understanding to normal people. But over time, you will have the ability. Then as you later on, you have the condition, you decide to help people, then you can see all these things happening. The more you develop the ability to help people, you realize you also learn through helping them. You learn. You also develop the understanding of it, because people are of different karmic background. And the way they experience this first noble truth reality and get themselves entangled, everyone is different. Then the way they respond, the way they ask questions, the way they cannot come out of it, everyone is different. Then you realize it's not always one size fit all. Different people, you need to give different advice because they are different karmic background. They are at different stages of life. They cannot understand you. So the normal understanding, you cannot apply just blanket to everybody, like one size fits all. You cannot. You have to see their condition. Sometimes when there is no condition, you just let it be. Because if it's meant to be, the condition will appear again. So all this is learning about cause and effect, causes and conditions. That's why without going the Bodhisattva way to integrate and interact with many people, to help people, to share all this, you cannot develop the full understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of dependent origination, paticca samuppada, law of mind, behavior, science, and all those things. So all this will become the full spectrum of cultivation. So because of today's condition, I can explain all this so that the full picture is clearer. But this understanding is something that you all will be able to add on to what you have learned earlier on. So hopefully, after you listen to today's sharing, the whole spectrum of cultivation become much clearer and more complete. So luckily, because of your condition, you ask, then my nature can share. So what you are going through is, of course, initially you try to now give more emphasis to the daily mindfulness, sati, sampajnana, that cultivation, which is very good, which is correct. But don't try to know, just do. Do until very stable. Then you understand. Then after that, you find out. You go back to your former meditation. It become very easy. And you can do very differently. That time, the new understanding will actually make you different again. Then based on what I shared today, I think is already a very complete spectrum of cultivation that you can develop to understand and just do it. Okay, so?
Okay, yeah, very good. Sadhu. 我一直在 inquire 这整个的这个 daily 是要怎样的走。
对，that was so useful. It's part of the thing. But that's only one small part. After that, the daily mindfulness, the stability of it, 要做到它自己 become a part of you. Throughout the day, the mind is in sati. Means you are always aware. That's why that sati sampajana become very stable. Then that time your spiritual faculty is unshakable. That time your understanding, your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, especially panya, become very different again. they are like become balas, then they start to unfold, they start to manifest, and your cultivation move to a different phase again. So all these are the movement that normal cultivator cannot understand. If they cannot even reach that stage of balas without the awareness-based meditation, that wisdom, that Avijja Sutta's steps of cultivation, they cannot do it. Then after that, the four foundation of mindfulness, it has to be done. Then only the whole thing becomes different. So when you do the four foundation of mindfulness, the final one, Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and that is the Bodhisattva way already, the full cultivation already. That one is the perfection of virtue, wisdom, everything already.
Okay, yeah. But Brent, 这个它是那个啊 Satipatthana 是 after 一定要有这个啊 Sat 啊这个 Satisampajana。
Satisampajana 要 very stable. Then only the sense restraint is there. Then the three type of right conduct arise. Then only you realize your noble eightfold path, right view leading to right thought, right spirit, right action, and the right livelihood and the four right effort, you can start to do already. Then that time when you go into the four foundation of mindfulness, you remember last time I say it's like very easy. Everything is very clear to you by then. Especially Kayanupassana, you have already completed the full training. Especially the first three, you may not go to Anapanasati or whatever, but you can develop your mindfulness through various skillful means or the four support that I teach you, or your daily routine, your bowing, your morning and when you wake up and before you sleep, and in between your meditative routine, then your chanting, developing the faith, then the listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation, then in between maintain awareness and mindfulness. So all these are the support that will come and transform your cultivation. So this is the full range of things that you do. So when you do this, you definitely will have sati develop, stabilize. Then you go into the four posture mindfulness, then daily mindfulness. That's why the Kayanupassana, the first three very important cultivation, you already done it. Then by then, your mind has the stability of mindfulness, awareness. And when you do Vedananupassana feeling, you stay there, silent, away. You will understand the Satipatthana, how people react and stir their mind, pleasant, unpleasant, like and dislike, the habitual tendency, how they entangle themselves. That's how I am able to teach you all, is because I have that stability. And I saw at the moment of feeling, I can stay there, pure feeling. No delusion, no stirring, no reaction, nothing. But before that stability, I saw the movement. I saw how it stirred, how it moved, and how it conditioned me into that negativity. Then how I have the ability to prevent them from arising, the four right effort. That's why I went through all those things. And that one comes from Vedananupassana. Then when it comes to Chitta Anupassana, I can see the content of consciousness, the opinion, the emotion, the conditioning. Then that one, I use the third way and the fourth way to develop the wisdom, the understanding. That's how I can share all this with you all about the teaching. And the Satipatthana, like very easy to do. You stream through, you just like glide through, like become very easy. Then when it comes to the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, all become very easy because mindfulness of the five mental hindrance, you already done it early on. Then mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind, also very easy because you saw them, you know what the five aggregate is. Then after that is the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. This one you will do it when you are doing the fourth way, especially the fourth way to develop the wisdom. Then after that, you will start to have the seven factors of enlightenment. So mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment will give you the faith and the confidence that you are on the right path. And you keep on experiencing that, the seven factors of enlightenment. And once the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, your wisdom keep on stabilizing. Like everything you encounter in life, there is Dhamma. There is understanding. So the factors of enlightenment keep on arising. So after that, you move into the final cultivation. Mindfulness of Four Noble Truths and its three turning, the 12 aspect or 12 more. And that one is a full range of continuous cultivation, taking you until you perfect yourself. So this Satipatthana is the final training. But most people who finish until stage 7 of Avijja Sutta, stage 8 become very easy. It's a direct consequence. It will take off naturally. Then that time your training become very different. Then of course after that you will move on to stage 9, because under stage 8, the Dhammanupassana, that training, the mindfulness of the seven factor, you already saw that. So that is actually the stage 9 already. You keep on experiencing the seven factors of enlightenment. And after that, the cessation, the realization of Nibbana, the enlightenment in the here and now, step 10 will arise. So this is how you will be able to develop them. So today, because of your condition, that's why I explain all this in more detail for you all to understand.
Yeah, 真的, Maradil, thank sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, 真的是很 clear. 今天整个的那个 path very clear, step by step.
因为你一定要 go through the training. Like 你 daily mindfulness, 如果你没有进去 try, you cannot ask me all these questions. Because you ask me, that's why my nature know is the time is correct now or the timing is appropriate now to let you understand the rest. Otherwise, when I explain the rest, to you is like not important because you don't see the importance of daily mindfulness. But when you see the importance of daily mindfulness, when you start to do it, and then I explain all these things, all this will have meaning to you and you will fall into place. That's why you rejoice. So Dhamma is like that. Different people at different stages, you have to advise them to train themselves differently, because they cannot just jump to this because it's way beyond them. They cannot. So all these are very good example that people can learn. So everyone is different. Everybody is at different stages of progress, transformation, understanding, background of karmic and all those things. That's like the Sammasambuddha or the great beings that can have this type of wisdom. They can advise and guide people and take them across. If you don't have all this, you can't. And sometimes your cultivation is limited. So people who has gone beyond what you understand, you cannot guide them anymore. So the training is not easy. But for our case, you all have the condition because the sasana, and it so happened my nature need to arise to do this work. Then my nature has the ability to understand until so far, whatever you all go through is not a problem. I can still guide you. But when it reaches a stage that is beyond me, I will know, then I will tell you. You have to seek yourself or get other people to guide you. But at the moment, whatever you all go through and do. My nature still can guide you all because a lot of you all are still within the cultivation stage, and it will take you a long time because cultivation is such not easy, like what I explained last time. I don't know whether you all remember or not. I used to give you all the analogy. Cultivation is like the martial art, They say after they have cultivated for certain years, they accumulated that type of strength. They say like 20 years, 30 years. Then they say they are not scared that you can suddenly catch up with them because this one takes many years of training. But of course, there are people who are talented, exceptional, they progress super fast. So that one, possible, but very rare. So, but cultivation, the spiritual understanding is different. Because it's not like Kung Fu or martial art where you can diligently train and progress and become like that. Well, this one involves wisdom. This one involves a full range of understanding. That full range of understanding is very wide, the scope. Because it is wisdom, it's not a knowledge, it's not really, it's involving the understanding of the totality, the full range of causes and conditions. So whatever you do, if you have not even picked up the earlier like what I explained to you all, at first what is sati also people don't know, essential dhamma also don't know. So that one take a while, but a lot of you all have gone through, then develop the awareness-based meditation, understand and progress. And for you all to come to this stage is considered not easy for other people. Other people are trapped in thought-based meditation, cannot move. So even if you move, it takes you a long time to locate the gateway. Stabilize your awareness and locate the gateway. Then that gateway cultivation is a very intense and long process. And it need to go through the Bodhisattva way, all those things. That's why, because of that, it's not easy to find that type of great being that have this type of understanding and cultivation. So it's like whatever I share based on your level and understanding. I never keep anything. Well, no point. Why should I keep? Because the cultivation is such, there is no way people can catch up. The only possibility is when you all take the Bodhisattva way this life, following the yellow card instruction that I give you all, then you all stabilize it, plant the seed of Bodhi, make it very firm, very strong, then make the aspiration and everything so that life after life you come, you will have this understanding. That by the time you reach the next sasana, your cultivation will become very different. At that time, possible. Your nature may be near my nature. Then some may be even reaching my nature or beyond. Possible. That one is possible. Now after that sasana, the next one, if you cultivate continuously with this type of understanding and aspiration and vow, you can do it. You can have the ability. So this aspect of understanding will let you understand why when you have the ability to share, you should share. You don't have to worry about last time the old Kung Fu people. If they know 10 steps, they teach you 9, they keep 1, or they teach you 8, they keep 2. You don't have to do that because spiritual understanding, wisdom is different. The training is different. The transformation, the progress is all different. It's not like Kung Fu. But the Kung Li thing is quite similar. Like they have already did it for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You haven't even started basic practice or whatever. You cannot build up that Kung Li. Means you cannot build up the stability of the awareness nature and all those things. What is awareness also people don't know. So how to build up? not. So they have to go through all the various phases of training, the various phases of understanding, then to put it into practice, cultivate, then take a while. Then if they are gifted from the past, their karmic nature, their spiritual nature, very special, then they also receive very fast, they progress very fast. Then transformation also can happen very fast. Like my nature, this life when I come, I look back, actually, I didn't really have any real teacher. I use the word real teacher or guide is because most of the things I already have them. It's my nature, my vow, my aspiration, everything already set for me to receive all this. And this so-called guide and teacher or book or one other condition that manifests based on my nature's understanding, vow, aspiration, and condition. So that's why when they come, because of my past, my nature know how to receive them. But this is the way my nature give and share. That's why when I receive through, I also receive very fast. And I don't need much guidance or teaching. The moment I hear truth, I understand. Well, my nature is more or less similar to certain aspect of winning illiterate, uneducated. But the moment he heard truth, the Diamond Sutra, he awakened to it. And he don't need teacher technically. So that's why even though he met the fifth patriarch who imparted to him that understanding, but he has the parami to actually in that life receive all those teaching. But the moment the fifth patriarch mentioned to him about the mind, he said, this mind, the mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet not deceived by it. He came to great awakening. Then he understand everything. The full picture fall into place. Then his understanding surface. Then he connect. Then after that, he walk on his own already. That's why he told the fifth patriarch. Before that, need the fifth patriarch to him. To is, to in English is one, tolu. Like he still need him to guide him or take him across. English, I mean, to. The Mandarin word to is very good. I help you to progress. But after he has realized that teaching, the understanding, he said, it's now my time to row the boat and take you. You don't have to do me anymore. Because he can help people already, where he has that understanding already. So Dhamma is like that. When you awaken to it, you become different. So when you come, your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, very important. That's why perfect that. Every life when you come, when you cultivate according to what I have taught you, you will develop the beautiful spiritual nature and karmic nature. Then life after life you come, you will have all those conditions to receive all this teaching, have this right view and all those things. And you will become very beautiful.
Yeah. This is very dear. Yeah.
English?
Yeah, I'm here, Radio. Thank you, Brother Song, for nominating me. And sadhu to Brother Song's understanding of what Brother Teo has been tirelessly advising all of us on all this awareness cultivation and daily cultivation.
Daily mindfulness.
Maybe I'll like to share this one since Chinese New Year is next week, right? Yeah. Coming Friday. So due to lockdown, I also couldn't dare to engage the part-time helper to help me to clean the grills, all those. So I have to do it myself.
Right. Same as my wife. My wife also did the thing herself this year.
Yeah. So, I'd like to share this experience. because the willingness is there to clean the grill. It's not easy job. First of all, the willingness is there. So I just plan my days and then which day to do which grill. And then I'd like to share that while I was doing the cleaning up the grills, because the grills got four parts, one door, glass door grill, they have four parts. So I just do with a few cloth at one time, four or five cloth, when I climb up, so that I don't have to keep coming down and up and down. So I just do, and then I was, because my grill is a squarish one, the squarish type. So every hole, there are four corners.
Yes.
So I use the cloth to, a wet cloth to, like sawing a wood. I use two hands. I don't use one hand with five fingers to just wipe. I use two hands to drag the cloth in and out at all four corners. So I find that it's better and cleaner. So, okay, to cut things short, after I was doing it, and then without my knowing, so the four portion of the grill was done. So I take my rest to drink water. So during that time, this realization suddenly arise that. So it said, during that, I didn't know the time flies so fast. It's almost 2 hours.
Yes.
And then not tired during the 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just do. I and then I realized I don't have any thoughts in me during the 2 hours.
Correct.
So I realized that I just do all the grills, the holes. Let's say got one row, five times ten.
It's your duty. You sacrifice, you do without negativity or thought or even thinking. You just feel that that is your duty. That is dhamma.
不计较, yeah.
不计较, then because 你不计较, 你就没有那个 thought process. So,
yeah.
不会 feel tired. Because you just do. Because there is this choice. It's just like a parent or a mother sacrifice for their family. They will do with joy. They will just do. Yeah, it's part of the duty, part of their responsibility, and they do with understanding. For the safety of the family, you sacrifice and do. Like my wife, she did it. Two house, not easy to, but she is not so elaborate as you. Clean until so clean. But she take down all the curtain, then she wash, then put it back, and all. It's not easy, but the curtain, a lot of hooks and all those things.
Yeah.
The floor, the maintenance of the whole house, the toilet, because last time temporary maid twice a week. So now everything she do herself. Then she need to change bed sheet. Oh, every day a lot of washing, although she always tell me washing machine wash, but you also have to prepare, collect the clothes, dry, iron and fold and do all those things. That's why off and on I asked her to get Sui to help because Sui is back. He said, never mind, can do, she's doing. But Sui has been helping many things too, like washing our dishes and whatever we need her. They have played their role very well. So when we know our Dhamma and we know how to apply it mindfully with awareness and understanding, you can experience a lot of things that people who are not heedful without the Dhamma cannot experience, like what you experience is very good. Time fly without you knowing it. 2 hours is so fast. My wife always tell me, wow, one day already. Very fast. And what is she doing? Doing her duty, helping out the family. And all this is a lot of work, but never complain. Always say, it's her duty. She do her duty. Then I told her, her parami come from what? Doing her duty. For many, many lives, her parami come from doing her duty. That's why she many lives with me. Because she do really well. Then there is condition. That's why in the early day I used to tell her and joke, I said, I don't know what cable she has. That cable very big. Oh, very strong cable. From other star also can come into contact with her in Kolasleng or a remote town. And no way we can know each other one. That's why that type of affinity. And my nature know what type of should I were to get married, what type of wife that is suitable, my nature know. That's why it has this criteria. Then everything fall into place, not to say I choose. It just happened. And all these are beautiful Dhamma in daily life sharing. So for you, you are able to do it because maybe you have the good understanding. That's how you can do this. Yeah, this sharing is very good, actually.
Yeah. Actually, the during the doing, just do without thoughts. And then without feeling of joy also. The joy come after when I was resting. When I look at the grill, was really sparkling, really clean. That's the joy of doing.
You rest the time when you look up. That is the pristine beauty and wonders of life at that moment. That pure awareness, that joy that you see. Because when you do something like Suji Deo, they see people recover from their calamity, their suffering, their misery. They help turn their life around. They have joy. And that is Dhamma. That is what the Buddha called joy. Joy is pity, happiness. So all this are the mind of cultivator. Only cultivator can have this type of mind.
And then the thing is, the time pass and then there's no thoughts, and then the joy come later, and the tiredness also come later. The body aching, the shoulder, because I try to reach out.
It's always like that, like on spiritual trip. The tiredness only happens after we reach home. When we are there, you remember not. Like no need to sleep or no, that energy don't know from where or no. After climbing the Fanjing Sun, everything, like not tired or no. Oh, that dinner still very alert and all those things. So when there is Dhamma, the energy just come. That's why you all can see also when I share Dhamma, my energy like, don't know from where, very strong from that nature come out. Then even sometimes I got some slight
sinus.
Cold or whatever, sinus, I recover.
Power of truth and power of joy, right?
Because when I share from my heart, that nature inside open up and that pure energy come out, that vibration come out. Stabilized.
And then another thing, Radio, I would like to ask for your opinion or your advice. Even like just now, I was doing lying down meditation, 45 minutes, but I just do 30 minutes. Before that, I have to go and do something else. So, I have been experiencing this on my hearing vibration. It's not hearing sound.
I know.
But hearing vibration.
Yeah, awareness of it.
Awareness of vibration.
Just that thing.
At first was the, like what you say, in the middle of the night when everything suddenly silent.
Quiet.
Or when quiet down, then you feel the silence of the environment, the total silence. Then after that was the, you say, after you turn off your computer, the old computer, the sound was
The vibration all gone, like that stillness, you can feel it.
That type of stillness. Then this one is, when I felt it myself was during the fridge. My fridge start also make a lot of noise.
So
when it suddenly...
The compressor off.
Off and on, or don't know lah. Suddenly it's off.
When the compressor reach the temperature cold enough, it will cut off.
When it's off,
you can sense the difference.
I can sense the vibration totally no more. So, okay, that's the beginning initial stage. Nowadays, I even when before I talk about lying down meditation just now, even when I was walking or what lah, I can feel aware of the vibration, not sound or not. It's
know,
not a
I
sound.
Know, I know.
It's a vibration.
Sadhu,
it like it likes disappearing from my right ear,
correct.
And then appearing and push out from my left ear.
Yeah.
So this is part of the few a few detail, more prominent vibration that I aware of. And then just now I was lying down, was again that type of vibration. I know clearly it's not sound because I can hear all other sound in between,
correct.
Outside environmental.
Correct.
This vibration again, like just now I said, disappear from my right ear and then push out from my left ear. So when I'm aware of this, so since I have a Brother Song nominated me, so I take this opportunity to ask for Brother Teo's advice. This is just part parcel of the daily stability of heedfulness, I think.
Training,
yeah.
Your training.
Yeah.
You see, this can only happen when your mind has actually become more refined, the mindfulness. Mind has entered sati to a certain stage. When mind has entered sati, that everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel or think will be in sati. So later on, most of the time, you will be quiet. Most of the time, that is daily mindfulness, quiet. Then you can sense all this specific phenomenal awareness, like all the seeing is different really, all the hearing is different really, like it's just the awareness of it. There is no real perception. But you want to know, you want to perceive, you can. But because you already have the stability of that mindfulness, the mind has entered sati, then all this become possible. Then when you go into the formal meditation like what you did, you can experience a lot of this specific phenomenal awareness. Or sometimes you decide to stay away without a center, spacious awareness without a center. Then your nature like merge into the whole of the oneness. Then you can start to experiment and find out more and more about that nature, that awareness nature. That last time I used to share with you, I think you have done it in the early morning meditation too.
Yeah, that one, but
there
once only,
there
no more experience that already.
Don't worry,
yeah.
It will come because the shift of consciousness will come, but you have to persevere, continue with the training. Do not be complacent. After you got it, then you get complacent, then you think you already...
No,
you need the stability. So like Po Cheng go through, she know. Then when the shift of consciousness come, in the form of meditation, it will happen. It will happen. Then that shift will become faster and faster, like I explained the song. Later on, when your spiritual faculty become very stable, like become unshakable balance, meditation become like very easy. No need to do anything. The moment you lie down, the moment you sit down, you're in a meditative state.
Yes.
For you, you can do it already because
it's
there. So it's no more like last time, need the object of meditation, need to breathe in, breathe out, give insight. No more already. The moment
I remember I remember last time I asked Ratio before samadhi in formal meditation and samadhi in daily life. So when this samadhi in formal meditation, it comes immediate, or I can say I can just go straight to the vibration of the heart.
Correct.
Yeah.
Away.
And then relax my whole body. Just like, just relax. I just lay there on me.
Correct.
Don't do anything.
Do you remember in the sutta, because this Theravada sutta, it seems there is one sutta, they confuse this type of samadhi with the jhana type, the jhana type. And do you know, in the sutta, it seems, I don't know what sutta, they used to say, because they are very proud of those jhana and jhana. Then they say, you can go into this jhana anytime on, or throughout the day, that thing is you. But actually, what the Buddha meant is that type of samadhi that is awareness based. When your spiritual faculty are very stable, when your daily mindfulness is very stable, at any one time, you can go into that state of stillness, silent, awareness. That is the meaning, not the jhana one. No need to do anything. Your mind is already in that state. The spiritual faculty is already unshakable. That's why the sati and the samadhi is already very stable. And the wisdom that develops equanimity is also very stable. That's why during that time, the mind is always in the meditative state. That is the meaning.
But I can differentiate that samadhi in jhana and samadhi with full awareness. I can differentiate that.
Totally different. But that one is energy holding on to the five jhanic factor.
The samadhi in jhana, they totally, I think, without consciousness, they are totally without awareness.
Correct.
They are in deep absorption.
Strong energy, very strong energy. One-pointedness, ekagata.
Yes. Whereas the awareness samadhi, experienced before, it free mind and then with strong awareness. During last December, then during the raining season, in the middle of the night, the rain kept come and go, come and go. I was fully aware of the rain coming and fully aware of the rain stop. And then it come again, go again. And then this recently also, I think last month. Even when I was fully aware of my turning of my body position when I was sleeping. When I turn to my right or turn to the left, I was fully aware.
Means your mind has entered sati already.
So I know the full awareness, samadhi, absorption awareness. Our absorption in jhana is totally different samadhi.
Totally different. Yes, sadhu. Oh, very good. Sadhu.
Because I was... I'm still cannot stabilize it last time, so I say better keep it private first, right? I don't want to share out so much I stabilize myself further.
Because you actually have the understanding, you actually progress along. Because for you to come out with the unique code, it's not easy for somebody who appreciate all this and can write it down and keep all this thing, then when I need it, you say you have them. Wow, that's why it speed up the book. The book came out very fast. You remember you sent me all of whatever you actually kept in the computer within don't know how many days. Then after that I go through, then my nature rejoices. I say, wow, at least there are people who understand my unique code or appreciate my unique code at that time. So even Brother Song, the last session share also said, now he look at the unique code again. He realized that type of teaching, nobody can really teach. Because that whole teaching point towards like winning a true mind, the awareness nature, that real awareness-based meditation. So all these are really something very beautiful, flowering. And my nature rejoined. A lot of kanyamita has progressed and had that understanding. That's why now the understanding is different, become more deeper and deeper, and more people are progressing. That's why now with the sharing and the questioning, I can share whatever that is needed or appropriate so that you all can have that training for the next few years to come, so that you can have this understanding slightly ahead. Without the condition, all this sharing cannot come out. Like I used to tell you in the early days, you remember not? What my nature understand is so much
more,
like the leaf in the forest. But I cannot share because there is not much condition. Very few people have progressed.
Sister Po Ching, 加油 ask Brother Teo more deeper question, experience your deeper experience with us so that Brother Teo can share more.
Yeah, Po Ching case was very exciting. Even my nature also surprised, rejoiced that from nobody she can become so fast because she follow almost 99% of my instruction. Everything I share with her, she just do. Don't try to know it. And the trust helped her a lot. That thing make her move very fast, the four support. But her daily contemplation, the five daily contemplation also help her. The contemplation on death, the urgency. Then the vow, she took the vow, the yellow sheet. She did it every day. Continuously with very strong determination and faith, then all the daily religious routine, whatever training, she followed exactly. That's why she was able to progress very fast. And also the condition come about is because she realized the retreat was canceled last year. And because of that, she actually initially was, she thought, ayo, no more condition. So in a way, slightly disappointed, but it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Then he said, since it's still MCO, cannot go retreat, so she decided to do it on her own at home. And she did it actually very seriously, and she followed everything I said. But she starts to see the importance of the instruction and the beauty of the words and the Dhamma share. So when she did it and she realized the transformation and the result, because this one, like the Buddha say, the Dhamma is Pachetang, Veditabo, Venuhi. Then she realized that everything she realized and transformed match with my words. So all the words that I share and teach really it stand up. That's why she was so much joy and she was so confident she dared to share. Then that time she progressed very fast. That faith, the confidence, the diligence. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, Sadhu, right there. 6:04 already.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I have finished my sharing. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello.
Ah, Po Ching, yes. Yeah, Sadhu.
Aminopo. Thank you, MB, for sharing about her experience. Very good. I think it's very good in her daily life.
She progressed,
yes. Yeah. Because of Chinese New Year, we do a lot of housework.
Correct, yes. But she did a lot of cultivation. Yes.
Actually, this one is from the... Your sharing of the truth, right? I just want to clarify, what is this Dhamma footprint?
Oh, earlier on, I think it was described. It's the Tzuchi's way of actually adopting these 8 things when they go to disaster area. You can actually check back earlier on. They have a footnote down there. They got 2 type, I think. One is the 8 manifestation of the Sammasambuddha when he come, the 8 way he teach and share.
Oh, okay.
I think they adopted that. They adopted that and modified it for Tzuchi. That's why they also got the 8 footprint. Means when they go there, they do all those 8 things. It's like footprint.
I was wondering what is this versus the Noble Eightfold Path.
Oh, no, nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. It's the 8 footprint that they expanded from the 4 mission.
Understand. Thank you, Brother.
Okay,
Brother, I got one more question.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with the Dhamma, but more of Chinese New Year. On Thursday is Chinese New Year Eve. Do we still have a class?
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
I think we have to stop the class for 2 weeks. So today is Sunday. I think our last session should be this Tuesday.
Okay.
After that Thursday, okay, no class because people busy with the reunion and everything and
yes, the whole New Year thing. Yes.
So Tuesday will be our last sharing. Then after that we break for 2 weeks. In Chap Gor Mae, I think if I'm not wrong. Chap Gor Mae only 2 weeks is 14 days in Chap Gor Mae, I think about Chap Gor Mae. You check the calendar, I cannot remember.
Chap Gor Mae 26th of February.
Is it on Friday? Oh, miss, before that, that Thursday will be our. Oh, sorry.
25th.
Yeah. So 25th is Thursday. If you want a class, we can have it that day. We can have it that day, just before Chap Gor Mae.
Yeah. Then 25th is okay to have a class.
Okay. So we will resume on the 25th. Luckily, Pochin asked. So I asked to send out the notice.
Because everybody busy.
For the New Year. Then a lot of Kayamita also may have to go and secretly pioneer. small number. Because now cannot gather, but delivery pioneer, I think still okay. So I would like to take this opportunity to wish all Kayamita a happy coming Chinese New Year. Then maintain your wholesomeness, your cultivation, then be a blessing to all. And Chinese New Year is always an occasion for you to cultivate the Dhamma, because most of the time we will have reunion and all those things. But this year could be slightly different. So you can make use of this MCO to develop contemplation Dhamma so that you can have the understanding. So once again, wishing all Kayamita a very wholesome and happy, prosperous Chinese New Year. So our Tuesday class will be the last, but my sincere wish to you, just in case these people don't attend Tuesday class, at least they can hear all this. So thank you so much for being with us as Kayamita, and I really rejoice, my nature rejoice, and hope you all will realize your good and noble wishes as soon as possible. Then happy cultivation, strive on with heedfulness and be a blessing to all. Hold on to the Dhamma way, cultivate diligently, heedfully, sincerely, with faith, and persevere. So I wish you all the best. Sadhu.
Thank you, Brother Teo. And thank you, all Kayamita.
Yeah, Sri Anne want to say something.
Actually, Brother Teo, may I suggest that next Sunday afternoon, which is this session, we have a fellowship rather than a...
Okay, informal one, yeah. Fellowship, Chinese New Year Zoom.
Up to 5 o'clock, whatever, yeah?
No problem.
For Chinese New Year.
Yeah, for Chinese New Year Zoom. It's a fellowship. No need Dhamma, nothing. Just interact. Chinese New Year Zoom. Good.
Just right.
Okay. I ask Sui to set up. Then maybe you can become the chairman. Or the what they call the what
announcer. The one I get all jobs.
MC. Sui and we get Sui to be the MC. You draft me a very simple program. Short one.
The other thing is that I'm producing the the MP3 player one by one is slow, one by one.
Yeah, yeah. That day.
We have just arrived this afternoon. So
oh, good, good, good. That day, at least.
10 for in memory of the father-in-law.
Oh,
sadhu. The shipment just arrived. So by tomorrow morning, I think I should complete the 10 already.
Oh, sadhu. That day, Alicia gave me the feedback. He said, wow, brother Teo, the MP3 also is very good. She took her setback. She loved it, really. She said, very useful, very helpful. No, very clear. And she liked to listen to all this sharing. Mm. Very good, sadhu.
So, Pamasuri, if he's ready by tomorrow, maybe you collect the 10 and then you pass on to Brother Teo for him to distribute in the PJ area.
Can. Whoever come.
I'll let you know tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I will pass it to them.
Because the Subhanjaya one, we have distributed quite a bit. And then Jayanta was here.
Yesterday, yeah. Yesterday.
I passed him some to take back to Malacca.
Oh, okay. Well,
so he's getting one.
Oh, sadhu. Very good. Thank you. So, Chesa is Friday.
Next Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday. Okay, next Sunday.
We at least get some atmosphere.
Yeah. Chinese New Year Zoom. We can wish each other Chinese New Year. Then we will have some form of informal Zoom session where we can share.
Bring your own Chinese New Year cookie, then eat yourself.
This year, a lot of cookie. So what time you all suggest?
Same time, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay. That will be fine. Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Just use back the same session.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so let us rejoice one more time, then we end all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. So see you all next Tuesday. Okay, yeah. Yeah, end meeting.